Our Old Testament reading is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah. It's on page 726, and we read Isaiah 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." Our second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. It's on page 1229 in your pew Bibles. And we read 1 Corinthians 14, beginning at verse 12. "Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how could anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? Or you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature." The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke. It's on page 1100 in your pew Bibles. And we read Luke 5, beginning at verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based in part on your Old Testament lesson, and especially the words of Isaiah the prophet when he saw God. "Woe to me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." This is our text. One of the problems of humanity is that we often don't take sin seriously enough. We even like to divide sins up. There's big ones and then there's little ones. Ones that really don't hurt anybody or anything. And yet the scriptures tell us, for instance in Romans chapter 6, that the wages of sin is death. Well, not just big ones, but the little ones too. And it's not just the world that likes to classify sins and comes to believe that some sins really don't matter that much. We do that too. There's things that we avoid in life. There's things that when we see other people doing them, we say to ourselves, "Boy, that's an evil person." But there's sins that we have that we really don't try to avoid that hard. Those things that we say to ourselves, "Yeah, I know I shouldn't," but we just keep on doing it. As if it's no big deal. But do you know, things that don't seem like big deals often have horrible consequences. How many of you here are history buffs? I'm not going to test you on anything. I'm just curious as how many really like to study the background of history. Okay, so for you history buffs, you were probably taught that World War I, and by the way, about 37 million people died in World War I. 37 million. And what most of you have been taught is that World War I was started by a horrible event, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand. But if that's what you believe started World War I, where 37 million people died, you would be wrong. World War I got started because somebody took a wrong turn. Yes? Now, somebody had tried to assassinate Archduke Ferdinand earlier in the day, but he escaped. Several people were injured. And being a concerned Archduke, because these people were injured, and when somebody was trying to kill him, he thought he should visit the hospital where they had been taken. And so he instructed his driver to take him to the hospital. But But the driver got lost, took a wrong turn. And as he was driving down that street he should have never been on, one of the guys that tried to kill the Archduke earlier in the day was out in a cafeteria and saw the Archduke coming, jumped up, taking his gun, and killed him. All because somebody took a wrong turn. See, little things sometimes have huge consequences. There was this teenager in October of 2008. The internet was just starting to really get popular. CNN had created a little website called iReport and simply allowed people to post up there any news they felt worthy of posting. And a teenager had the bright idea of playing a little trick. He thought it'd be fun to post a rumor that Steve Jobs, the head of Apple Corporation, had had a heart attack. Apple stock lost $5 billion in value because of that little joke. Now, I don't know if anybody got killed that day, but I'm sure there were a lot of investors that probably wanted to kill that young man. Just a little joke. Yeah, little things. Things we think nothing of sometimes have huge consequences. We may think they're little, but God never does. And once in a while, we finally get the point. In our Old Testament lesson for today and in our gospel lesson as well, Isaiah and Peter finally got it. One of the interesting things about Scripture, when people come into the glorious presence of God, when they behold Him in all His might and all His power and all His holiness, you never find in the Bible somebody going, "Oh, that's cool. Wow, I'm so glad I'm here." No, their reaction is more like that of Isaiah and Peter. "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips." Actual Hebrew there is uncircumcised lips. "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." "Peter, depart from me, for I am a sinner." You know, it's interesting in the first epistle of John, when the judgment of the world is being described, and people are standing before God and beholding Him in His glory, it doesn't say that God then expels people from His midst. Now, the language John uses is that they shrink away from His appearing. On Judgment Day, there isn't going to be someone before God arguing to get into heaven because, well, they've been pretty good and they never did anything really bad. "Woe to me." And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." How are we going to be able to stand in the presence of the Almighty all-powerful, all-knowing, and completely holy and righteous God. Not because we've tried to be good, but because through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became that sacrifice for sin that we could not offer. Because of the blood that he shed on the cross, our guilt is taken away and our sin has been atoned for. But not only does God show his love for us in taking these things away, now he's called us into his presence. We might have the joy of serving him. And I heard a voice from the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And knowing that he had been made clean, saved from eternal damnation through the cleansing that God had given to him, Isaiah joyfully responds, "Here am I, send me." And we see the same attitude with Peter. When he understood the holy presence in Jesus Christ before him, all he could contemplate was how sinful he was. And he asked Christ to leave him. He knows he doesn't belong with Jesus. But Jesus tells him, "Don't be afraid." And far from wanting to cast Peter out of his presence, he wants to bring him into his service. "From henceforth, you will be fishers of men." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know that we don't belong with God by virtue of who we've been. We've often ignored our own sinfulness. We've made little things that God says are big. And were it not for Christ, if we were to stand before God, we too would realize instantly that we don't belong with him because of who we are and what we've been. But there is one way that we can stand in his presence and come into his service. And that way is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died and rose again. Not that we could go on being what we are, but that we might become his servants once again and live a life in perpetual service to him, and answer with joy the question that God does put to us today. While we still live in this world where many people don't get it, where many people redefine what sin is, don't care to change their lives, want to keep on living, doing those things that God would forbid, and even mocking people who strive to live the way God wants us to live. That's the world we live in. But God wants to redeem all people. Is not God so loved just us? But God so loved the world. And he's redeemed us that we may live in his presence and serve him. to Isaiah, to Peter. To you and I, God has put forth a call to go and tell the world. Tell it about sin and how it destroys, but also tell it about Jesus and how he can save. May God grant that as we continue to hear that call to us through Scripture, and with Isaiah, we may joyfully respond to that call, "Here am I, send me." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.